Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezvit, the reporter Nick Keyser hanging out with you. And we got intern Reed behind the glass as well, joining
yes, we
us
do.
For his first day. So welcome in.
Welcome, Reed.
The new kid on the block with our internship program here at 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
It's he already knows Willie, so that's
program.
A good step.
He only knows
Willie Day.
When I started as an intern, I already knew Willie, too. So, you know, that was... And look at me now.
Looks like Willie's the recruiter we got out there.
Willie is the recruiter. He's our top recruiter, and he'll join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll get into a variety of different topics with him. But discussing the Titans right now. So I think it's safe to say that we've all kind of come to terms that they're in some sort of rebuild, whatever level you really want to call it. Now, I have a hard time saying this is a full-on rebuild because I still think the defense is going to be pretty decent. Mm-hmm. It's the offensive side of the ball that is in a rebuild. But can you even say that completely? Because they right now, today, on May the 9th, still have Ryan Tannehill, still have Derrick Henry. And then you have Byard on the other side as well. But they've cut some key pieces on the offensive line. They've completely redone the offensive line, pretty much. You're going to have a young and inexperienced receiving core. You have a young tight end group. So – from that standpoint, like I get it. So if they're entering that realm, and who's to say that Tannehill will still be here by the time they get to August? You never know. Mm-hmm. I think he will be, but you never know. Do you feel confident that the Titans are going to do this right? That they're going to get this right if they're in a rebuild?
That's a lofty question.
A loaded question.
I mean, a lot of it comes down to, you know, Ran Carthon and Mike Vrabel, because I know it's really easy to look at the Tennessee Titans organization and make sweeping judgments based off of past moves, past decisions, past draft picks. But I mean, the reality is John Robinson's not the GM anymore. It's Ran Carthon and it's Mike Vrabel. I understand the ownership's still the same, but when it comes to the guys making the decisions and the coach on the field, the offensive coordinator, things are different. And, you know, the answer of do you think that this rebuild can be successful? I think a lot of it comes down to can Will Levis be successful? Because the unfortunate truth is, you know, when you draft a guy where they did draft him, moving up in the second round, I don't think he has as much pressure on him as a first round, a top four pick like a CJ Stroud or an Anthony Richardson. But being a quarterback and getting drafted into a situation like this, you still have a lot of pressure on you. And I think, can this rebuild work? Can this rebuild be successful? All goes back to, can Will Levis take that jump? I'm not saying this year, I'm saying next year, and truly be a starting quarterback in this league. I believe that they've made changes that will improve this offensive line. I think it will be better than next year. What does it look like on the first Sunday? I don't know. But can that offensive line work together and be a pretty solid line in 2024? That's the hope. And then can you have a record? I mean, they don't have to be great this year. Maybe they will. But put yourself in good draft position next year to maybe go and get a weapon for Will Levis. You're going to have a lot of draft cap, or you're going to have a lot of cap space. So that's something else to think of next year. And can you make those moves to guys that you believe can help make your roster better? But right now, there's still a lot of holes. I didn't think they could fix it all in one offseason.
Yeah, and I didn't either. But again, even though they're in this process, you know, can they do it right? Jonathan Hutton was on with you and Junie yesterday, and this topic obviously came up. Is it a rebuild? But he brought something up that we haven't really discussed in a while, because we kind of felt like maybe they weren't related. This was Hutton.
Do you believe that they're sending a message to fans that, you know, this is the start of the rebuild and that they're gearing up for 2024?
Yeah, I mean, look, I... straightforward, Michelle, I think they're gearing up for the opening of their stadium. Mm. They peaked a couple of years ago. The 2020 season was the year to win it. That's the year that they had the 2,000-yard rusher. That's the year that they had a quarterback that threw for 4,000 yards. They nearly had two different receivers go for 1,000 yards each, and A.J. Brown and Corey Davis. Jonnu Smith was making great – coming off of a postseason where he came to life and had a solid season the following year. That was the year that they peaked, and since then they've been chasing that season to get back to the postseason and go on a run. And to me, while these moves don't point to, man, we're really selling hope and we're all in it for 2023, I think down the line, if you start to look at when the stadium opens, when Will Levis, as of right now, he's not the starter, but when he is, that'll be the second contract for him, and you don't draft him unless you believe in the guy. Mm-hmm. And beyond that, they've drafted depth. And Amy Adams-Strump, when she fired John Robinson, said the depth was just not good enough. And this is an older Titans roster. They cut the fat of some of the contracts this past offseason with guys like Bud Dupree and others. And they're keeping Tannehill and Henry, but we all know that's for a season.
That was Jonathan Hutton yesterday. So the whole stadium conversation once again comes into play of that they might be gearing up for that. That they're wanting to put this team into a position where Levis is established as a starter. They have, you know, Skoronski that has made his impact on the offensive line, Treylon Burks, you know, the guys that are here, and then others that they build around. So when that stadium opens in 2027, that they will be clicking on all cylinders. You buy that?
Based off the moves they've made now, yes, I do. And I think that that'll only strengthen that argument if by November 1st, Will Levis is the starter, maybe Derrick Henry's traded, and Ryan Tannehill is let go at the end of the season. If that's the case, if that's how we see this season pan out, yeah, I do buy it, because the unfortunate truth is, as much as you want to win, you also need to sell tickets. Winning helps sell tickets. Having a stud young quarterback helps sell tickets. Having a vision, having a plan to show your fans, because at the end of the day, this new stadium, I mean, the cost of tickets, the cost of season tickets are going to go up significantly. And if you want your fans to make a financial investment in your team, you have to show them what you're doing and what your plan is. We talked about it with the Predators. They didn't know the plan until the trade deadline came and went. We found out the news about Barry Trotz. That's when the Predators...
I think they knew the plan. We didn't know the plan.
Yeah, yeah, of course, yeah. They knew the plan, but it was, okay, you know, what are you showing your fan base? What are you showing based off of your moves? The plan of action for the future? Because I do think, to some extent, you know, I don't think a professional organization needs to tell their fan base every move they make and every decision and reason why. But, you know, when you do have fans making a significant financial investment in your organization, in your team, in your franchise, you are a business at the end of the day, and they need to have some sort of vision as to what is it going to look like. Is this team going to be successful? Is this team going to win in 2027 when I'm spending X amount of money on season tickets? Is it worth it for me?
Sure. And I mean, I think it's right to think that way. It's right to ask those questions if you're a season ticket holder, if you're a fan of the Tennessee Titans. So that is the question, you know, on everybody's mind right now. Do you trust them to do a rebuild? 615-737-1025. We'll get to Adam coming up next. But I'm also going to add another wrinkle to this.
Ooh, okay.
To this question. And that is, who's in a better spot right now as they enter their reset, whatever you want to call it, the Titans or the Predators? We will discuss both ends of that, plus your calls. Adam, hang on the line with us. 615-737-1025. It's Chase and Michelle here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Want to tell you about you could join us this Friday for the grand opening of Dunkin' in Cane Ridge, located at 191 Burkett Commons Avenue. Enjoy free coffee and other fun giveaways with us, as well as who wrote this? That will be on site from 8 to 10 coming up Friday morning. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
How concerning was his progression?
It's like Mike said, it's a myriad of things that you can contribute to whatever you feel was a lack of. You know, there were the drops and things like that. So we talked about it, about other players. You don't want to just put it all on one person. You have to understand the full concept of everything that was going on. So, again, Will's here. Our coaches are going to, you know, work their asses off to help him improve, and we think that he will improve.
I mean, I think, Gentry, I think we can obviously be transparent. Kentucky was a much different football team in 2021 than what they were in 2022. And if we protect him when he's out there at whatever point, if we don't protect him better than what it was, it's probably going to look the same, just like it is for every quarterback. So we try to look at the really good exposures, the great performances. We try to look at them, what they look like at their worst, and then just try to get, you know, pull the curtain and see what it looks like. But there were some really impressive performances against some big-time defenses in the SEC. Now, there are some decisions that have to be better. We can't put the ball in harm's way, no matter who our quarterback is.
Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon after they drafted Will Levis. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, as we discuss where the Titans are at. Are you buying this rebuild thing? And the caveat that I've added here is, who's in a better spot, the Preds or the Titans? We'll get to the Pred site in just a second, but Adam wants to weigh in right now. Adam, welcome in.
Hey, buddy. Hey, the Preds are in way better shape, man. We're like torturing our fan base. The Titans are torturing their fan base. Our young guys suck. Like, they kind of suck, right? Like, they're not. There's nobody proven that. Like, there's nobody proven. And all the young Predators guys come in and almost took them to the playoffs. Our guys are like, our best one is a concussion risk. And the other one, like, played two games. I'm worried about it. Our draft capital sucks. The Preds have all the draft capital. We don't know Rand Carthon. We know that he can't keep secrets. That's all we know about him. And we
all feel the enthusiasm. Adam, I can feel the enthusiasm through the phone.
Well, Barry Trotz is like the definition of stability. And Rand Carthon's like, yeah, we're about to go up and get our guy. And then we get hosed. Like, it sucks, man. Like, I feel like the Titans are the exact opposite of where we need to be in the Preds already. So.
Hey, I appreciate the call. You know what's funny about that? And again, it's a little different because we knew Barry Trotz before, but we knew him as the coach. But we have no freaking clue.
Thank you, Chase.
What he's going to be as a GM. But because of what we knew about him before, we just feel like, okay, we're fine.
I also feel like, you know, what you know of Barry Trotz as a GM is really just a piece of the puzzle to the moves that were made towards the end of the season for the Nashville Predators. I mean, he was asked, he said, yes, I gave my input on these decisions. You know, up until the draft, what we knew of Rand Carthon was his piece of the puzzle in the San Francisco 49ers organization, helping build depth on their roster. He hit on some picks, but he's never been a GM in the National Football League. And I don't understand the immediate flip of the fan base on before the draft. He was, I mean, the unknown is undefeated, right? He was successful with the 49ers. Everybody loved him. And now, based off one draft and not even one football game, not even one NFL game, people have the attitude like Adam of, oh, Barry's going to be way better than him. I still do believe that the Predators are in a better position just based off the performance that we have seen from the younger guys towards the end of the season. I also think that in the NHL, you have the luxury of being able to send them down to the AHL and have them play in a postseason like Luke Evangelista and a bunch of them now, and then bring them back up, which I think can be very beneficial, which you don't have the luxury of doing in the NFL. And I think right now for the Tennessee Titans, a lot of it is just still unknown. You don't know how Will Levis is going to be. You don't know how Treylon Burks is going to be in year two, or how Kyle Phillips is, or how Nicholas Petitfrere is, or the new additions to the offensive line. It's still very, very unknown. But I also think it's also unfair to Rand Carthon to say, oh, by far, you know, Barry is one of the most successful coaches in the NHL, but we still really don't have any idea how he's going to be in as a GM.
But I mean, I have faith. Because
I do too.
Because he's been, you know, he's gotten this transition time. And look, I still think Rand Carthon is probably going to be fine. Now, has everything been perfect to this point? No, it hasn't. I mean, I do kind of feel like they leaked some stuff out that they probably shouldn't have. And whoever did that, you know, okay. But I think the answer to me is pretty easy, that I feel much better about the Predators and where they are right now because of the draft capital and the cap space. Those are the two things that the Titans don't have at this moment.
I think, too, when you look at the situations, Barry Trotz was given a team that was in a much better situation.
True.
He was given a team that realized what they were in December of this year and decided, okay, we are going to give some of our young guys more opportunity. We are going to try to sell by the trade deadline. We are going to gain draft capital. And we're going to put Barry Trotz in a great transition period with David Poile. We're going to give him options as the NHL draft is here in Nashville this summer. He's going to have draft capital. He's going to have cap space. And if you flip things, John Robinson gets fired in the middle of the season. The team loses seven straight. Now Rand Carthon gets hired, and at the same time, he's wanting to draft the type of players that he wants for this organization, but also has to fix some of the mistakes that were made by the previous GM. I mean, when you took a look at Kevin Byard's contract, that was restructured a couple times. Tannehill's, Derrick Henry, some big contracts that, you know, if you look at the Predators, like a Mikhail Granlund contract, they were able to get off of. A Matthias Ekholm contract, they were able to get off of. But, you know, when you look at Rand Carthon's situation, he's kind of financially tied right now to some of those bad contracts that they weren't able to get off of, and that was made by previous management.
Yeah. Okay, a couple of texts. Andrew. Andrew always just brings the heat. The Predators are not in a better position. They are not, and have not been good other than one very lucky run followed by a choke job after a President's Trophy. The reason we are down on the Titans is because we are down two draft picks next year, and everyone still wants to trade for a receiver. If we do trade more draft capital, are we just skipping the draft next year?
He does have a point with the draft capital.
Yeah, they don't have any.
They don't have a third-round
pick.
So
how are you going to sit here and say that the Predators are not in a better position when they have 13 draft picks in this year's draft and the Titans have, what, four?
Oh, and lots of cap space.
And lots of cap space. I mean, that right there, I think, puts you in a better position.
And some somewhat more proven rookies and young guys than the Tennessee Titans have. I mean, I would say the most proven rookie is heading into their second year with the Tennessee Titans. Stonehouse?
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, Chig. I feel good about Chig.
Yeah. Yeah. But, like, you know, compared to the young guys on the Preds where you have, you know, a guy like Luke Evangelista who has been performing at a high level in a race to get a playoff spot is much different than the situations that some of these young Predators play or young Titans players were put in.
Right.
I mean, I think it's pretty easy to look at not being successful this year for either team and looking at who will be more successful for 2024 just based off of money, cap room, and potential players, draft capital. I think it's an easy answer.
This was Barry Trotz at their end of season press conference when he talked about how open he would be with the cap going up and then trying to put some of the right pieces together to make this a easier process.
Barry, with the assets that you've got now in the cupboard, how open will you be this summer to, with the cap maybe only going up $1 million, to add via trade for the immediacy of next year?
Well, I think I'm gonna be really open to that, obviously. But to me, the whole key to where I think our team is to be adding the right pieces, like the right people, not just adding a piece because it's a free agent frenzy and it seems like the right thing. You know, that it's got to be the right person. If not, I'm just gonna back away, and I'm gonna let a good young player grow, and something will come our way. I mean, you know, sometimes if you move too quick, you miss out on even a better place. I think one of the areas that I think will be a greater strength that is maybe getting missed is there's a lot of teams in this league probably half of them, David probably has a better number than I do, are up against the cap, and they're in trouble. And so you might be able to squeeze some really good assets, the assets that you want, out of them for a piece that fits in really well. So everything will be open in terms of that, but it has to be the right piece, because we have people coming.
That was Barry Trotz on May the 1st, or April, back in April, I should say. But I think, again, that's another reason why the Predators are in a really good spot, in a better spot than the Titans, because you can go to a team that, and now as things start to shake out with coaches and mm-hmm. now that the draft lottery and teams know where they're going to pick, you can go to a team and go, hey, you got this guy that's going to be making this amount of money next year. You're not going to be able to keep him. Here's what I'm willing to give you for him.
Yeah, and the NHL is a hard cap. It's a lot different than mm-hmm. the NFL, where you can maneuver it and manipulate it and push back contracts and figure out how to kind of make all the puzzle pieces fit, whereas the NHL cap, only going up $1 million, has put a lot of teams, you know, their hands are tied. They can't do much. And when you've hit that, like I said, it's a hard cap. There's not much you can do when you're put in that situation. Whereas the Predators.
David has played that very well.
Yeah. The Predators have a lot of financial freedom right now.
Coming up next, we'll get Willie Donick's thoughts on some of the things we're talking about, and also Vanderbilt, as he will join us ahead of his show. That is all next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezevic here with you. Before we get to Willie Donick, let's give something away. If you want to go see the Beach Boys at the Skirmerhorn Symphony Center on May 27th, you must answer this question. I think I made it kind of easy today, but I'm in a giving mood. We had Mike Love on last week. He was awesome. But if you want to go see the Beach Boys on May 27th, you answer this question. Who is the number one overall pick in the 2003 NHL entry draft held at Bridgestone Arena? Call 615-737-1025 and tell Nick Kieser, and you'll go see the Beach Boys on May 27th. Let's say hello to Willie Donick. He is a part of Caroline Willie and D-Mace, coming up in about 30 minutes here on these airwaves. Willie D, what's up?
Hey, Willie.
Hey, guys. I was at that draft. Am I allowed to win?
You are not. You are not eligible for that.
I was there.
You were, I know. You probably did shows all day.
Can I give a hint? No, I'm not going to give a hint.
No, I don't think you need to give a hint.
Somebody should get this without a hint.
It is pretty easy. I was told to tell you hello from the Lees, Dr. Lee and Clark Lee. They asked how you were doing, so I passed that along to you. As we announced yesterday, our new deal with Vanderbilt. You've worked on the Vanderbilt station before, but how does it feel knowing that their games are going to be here on 102.5 The Game next year?
Oh, I'm really excited about that. It's always great when you have all of the games under one umbrella. That was the thing that, you know, has sort of happened over the years. You know, I'm obviously getting old. I've seen a lot of different evolutions of where the Vanderbilt games have been on, going back to when I was a kid and it was on the Powerful AM station, and my dad would, down in Maitland, Florida, would go drive up on a hill and see if he could pick up the radio, and on the right night he could listen to our games. You know, those days are over, right? So it's a very different package to where you want to hear the Vanderbilt games. But I still think there's really something to be said for, you know, in one family of stations, all of the games are on there. So I'm really excited that not only the football, the basketball, but now all of the Vanderbilt sports, you know, including baseball. And this is a great time of the year to start picking up some college baseball. You know, these are fun times. So I'm really glad to have them all in our family, so to speak.
Yeah, and you will have Tim Corbin on today at 1:00. So yep. I know that will be a great interview, as always, because Corbs is awesome. So we'll be tuning into that. So I'm going to ask you the question that we were just batting around as we discuss both the Titans and the Predators and the situations that they're in. You know, the Titans, everybody's starting to use the R word and say they're in a rebuild, that they've drafted Levis and they got 1 year left with Tannehill and Henry and all of that stuff. And so I basically just posed it this way. Which team do you think is in a better spot right now today, the Titans or the Predators?
I think the Predators are a little further along in and they sped it up obviously at the trading deadline, so it can change pretty quick. But they made a decision towards the trading deadline that they wanted to speed up looking at the future. And you know, it's funny, we on our shows we always use the rebuild if it's a bad word, or you know, you heard David Poile say it's a transition, it's not a rebuild, it's a competitive transition, it's a competitive rebuild. There's a lot of different ways to describe different things, but to me it's just, are you in a window where you think you want to win right now? Are you playing much more towards winning right now this year, or are you looking a little bit more towards the future? And there's a full spectrum of that. And I think the Predators moved a little bit towards the rebuilding spectrum last year at the trade deadline, and that has sped along, I think, their ability to sort of retool. And it could make them pretty competitive next year, you know, as opposed to if they'd have stood pat, just missed the playoffs, and had basically the same team next year, or the same dilemmas next year. That could, I think, set them back. I see the Titans, you know, as some similar stuff. I think they're in a little bit of a dilemma. In a best case, just kind of like the Predators going into last year, I think the Titans could be a good team. You know, if everything falls right, could they scratch out a division or scratch out a wild card, win 9 or 10 games? Well, let's just say 10. Yeah, but what's their chance of winning big in the playoffs? Probably pretty low. Does that sound familiar with the Predators last year? So I think what Rand Carthon has to do is decide, how much am I playing for this year, and how much am I playing for not only this year, but also the next 2 or 3 years? I think that's the job of any GM.
Willie Donick on with us. Willie, when you take a look at the AFC South, it's going to be pretty exciting considering three of the rookie quarterbacks got drafted to three of the AFC South teams. Which quarterback out of C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson, or Will Levis do you think got drafted into the best position?
It's a really good question, and this is what May NFL talk is all about, right? Because we have no idea what's going to happen. But I think the advantage that Will Levis has is there should be a little less pressure being a second-round pick and the guy that was passed over, as opposed to the high first-round pick where it's like there's a lot of stakes in this. If C.J. Stroud and Anthony Richardson don't go right, there's going to be consequences for their teams. Whereas I think the Titans, even if Will Levis never develops into anything special, you didn't use a first-round pick. You hope that Skoronski ends up being a good player for you. And they have the ability, as we sit here right now, to not rush Will Levis into playing. So I think he's got a good pathway, in my mind, as opposed to the other two guys who are going to have an enormous amount of pressure to elevate their teams right away. But maybe that's seeing it through the prism of, you know, hopefulness here for this market. But I think Will Levis has a good pathway to succeed if he does the right thing. But at the end of the day, it's like Rand Carthon said, it's going to be up to these individuals, right? These three guys, it's going to be up to them to succeed.
Well, Willie, in 6 weeks, the NHL draft will be in our backyard in Nashville, and it's official. The Chicago Blackhawks will have the first pick. What was your reaction when you saw that last night?
It was not good. You know, I was watching the reveal, if you will, and I thought it was interesting. It was very – I didn't like how – you know, look, I don't work for ESPN.
I hated how they did it.
Guy, but I just didn't think it was really a good production at all. And did you guys see this? They revealed that Columbus had the third pick.
Yes, before break.
Before Bill Daly pulled up the card. I'm like, what's going on here? And they went to a commercial. And so then you knew it was either going to be the Ducks or the Blackhawks. So then the dread built up in my mind. So they kind of spilled the beans a little bit. I was really hoping Columbus would get it because Columbus deserves Connor Bedard more. They didn't tank. They went out and got Johnny Gaudreau. They've been building correctly. Mm-hmm. Their season went off the rails because of injuries. They would not have been that nearly that bad. So that's the kind of team that you wouldn't be disappointed to see get the first pick. The other two teams completely tanked to try to get it. So it was the worst case for everybody who's a Predators fan. But you know what? That's what makes a great rivalry. Predators, Blackhawks. So the Blackhawks get Bedard. Congratulations to you guys. And it's on for the next 20 years. Predators, Blackhawks. The fuel, you know, the fire keeps getting fueled.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, I mean, as Michelle and I were talking about earlier, they're going to have to do other things. Because, I mean, you think about they had Toews and Kane and Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook, and then they brought Hossa in. I mean, they had to build Corey Crawford in goal. So, I mean, they obviously still have a lot of work to do.
Oh, they've got a ton of work to do. And that's the beauty of hockey. You cannot ride one guy. You can have the best player, but, and I don't know how quickly Connor Bedard is going to be a great player. Maybe it will be overnight. I can remember Sidney Crosby's first year for the Penguins. They weren't very good. Connor McDavid was hurt his first year for a lot of the season, and they weren't very good. It took a year or two before they started, you know, becoming a team to be reckoned with. But the Blackhawks, I mean, they stripped it down all the way. They don't have a goalie. They don't have – like, Anaheim has some prospects that they've been building for a year or two. So, Bedard with that group, I think, could have been better quicker. But, yes, that will be, I think, the thing about Chicago is how quickly and how smartly do they build the rest of their roster, because they don't have much right now.
Real quick, the news coming out this morning, Willie, that Gabriel Landeskog going to miss the entire season – going to have knee surgery. I know that's they've been without him already this year, but how tough is that to know that it's going to be two seasons now without the captain?
Yeah, you know, the Avalanche, they signed him. I remember when he was a free agent, unrestricted, and it went down to the last second before they re-signed him. I mean, he's a leader for them, and they won the cup the next year. And I was wondering, you know, could he walk? And, you know, would the Predators be interested? Those are the kind of things in my mind. So it's interesting. They get the one good year, just enough. They won a cup, so everything's probably worthwhile. But they've got a lot of years left on his contract. And now Nathan MacKinnon's going to start making the huge money. So this is the challenge for a great team like the Avalanche to stay at the top. You already see them going out in the first round the year after they win it. This isn't going to help them, right? So they're a little bit more, I don't want to say ordinary, but they're a little bit more with the pack than, you know, the elite team that's way above the pack that it looked like after last year. So that's going to be an interesting team to watch going forward here. And of course, in the Central Division, with the Blackhawks getting Bedard, the Avalanche coming back a little bit, what's going to happen with the Jets? What's going to happen with the Wild, who have $14 million off the top because of Parise and Suter? Where the Predators fit in that, it's always a really good division, right? But, you know, can you finish in the top three? How close are you to doing it? These are the questions that Barry Trotz has to assess as he decides what to do with the roster this summer.
It'll be interesting to see for sure. Willie, appreciate it as always. We'll see you here in a few minutes.
Thanks, Willie.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Willie Donick, Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace coming up at the top of the hour. Always enjoy chatting with Willie D about different things going on in sports. Again, the NBA and NHL playoffs have been a lot of fun. We'll give you our best bets of the night coming up next and talk a little bit more about those series here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knesbitt, Nick Kieser here with you on this Tuesday. Tune in tonight for Nashville Sounds Baseball at 6:35 on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds will take on the Baby Braves, Gwinnett Stripers, AAA affiliate of my favorite team, the Atlanta Braves, but not this week. Go Sounds. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan is presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. I'll have to get out to the ballpark and see the Baby Bravos and the Sounds take on each other. I love that they're in the same division now. I was telling Sean Fort this when we were there the other night, and I've been to a couple games already. Love going out to First Horizon Park.
I haven't been yet this year.
You got
to go.
It's awesome. I love it. I just love the atmosphere out there and hanging out in the band box or sitting out, you know, in the seats or what have you. But the fact that you have the AAA affiliate of the Braves, of the Reds, of the Cardinals coming through here, I think is just perfect. That is exactly what they needed to have happen, and now you mm-hmm. see that because you get those fan bases that will go check out their what's up and coming for their teams.
Well, in Nashville, it's a melting pot. Mm-hmm. So you have people from all over the place. I know so many people who live here who are from Cincinnati or from Atlanta. You know, it's such a central location. So to get those minor league teams, I mean, we talk about Ryan from Chicago, who's a Chicago guy. I mean, they play the White Sox affiliate, and you never know when a guy is going to be on a rehab assignment and you can go see him at a minor league game and you don't have to pay as much big bucks.
Well, like, I mean, right now, you know, the Braves are about to play 19 games in 20 days, which is going to be crazy. So they're going to call up some people. But, like, Ian Anderson just went on the IL with Tommy John surgery, so he'll be out a while.
Oh, my guy. Ian, I didn't even see that. Yeah, oh, that's tough.
A couple weeks ago. Mike Soroka, you can see him pitch for Gwinnett. Vaughn Grissom has been playing with him. He's kind of been up and down. So, I mean, there's...
So keep track of your rosters because you never know, honestly.
Oh, yeah. And then the Sounds, you know, have some pretty good players that the Brewers have used and stuff too. So it's definitely something to check out here in our city as the weather gets... I know this week's going to be a little iffy, but with some rain.
You know how
stuff.
I get here early. Yesterday, I walked out into the hallway, and it was about 7:45, and I was like, where's the sun? The sun, like, never came out yesterday. And I was like, am I going crazy right
now?
It
did when I was like, okay, this is probably going to rain. We're going to rain all the way to Memphis. But once we got over the river, it was fine.
Over the wither and through the woods?
Yes.
To grandmother's house.
Over the wither?
That just shows that I've been on the radio for 5 hours.
You have, and you've done a fantastic job.
Thank you.
So thank you for doing that. All right, let's get to our games tonight. Of course, all lines from the Superbook Sports. We will start in the National Hockey League as the Carolina Hurricanes take on the New Jersey Devils. Hurricanes on the road tonight are they're leading the series 2-1, so looking to go up 3-1. But they are the dogs on the road, +130, Jersey -150 at home.
I like Jersey to win tonight. I think they tie up this series. I think they know they don't want to go. They don't want the Canes to go up 3-1 as you head back mm-hmm. into Carolina. So I think this is a you got to win tonight. I hate to say must win, but I think for the Devils, I think they tied up tonight 2-2.
Okay. I'm going to go with you on that. I like the Devils. I think they tied up too. They're -1.5 on the puck line too. So you could get plus money on that, +175, if you felt so inclined. I don't know if I'd do that. But
what's the over under?
5.5.
I'll take the over.
Yeah.
I'd
lean over on that. So give me Jersey as well. Also have Seattle's up 2-1 in this series. How about the pesky Kraken? They're not going away. Dallas on the road in Seattle. Dallas is the favorite, -135. Seattle +115.
I like Seattle tonight. I think they go
3-1?
Up, I think they go up 3-1 at home. I think you're in the position of, you know, Dallas, the pressure of having to tie up this series, but I think that Seattle gets it at home. And I'm going to call a shot. I think Ellie Tolvanen gets a goal tonight.
Tolvi?
Yep.
He scored the other night.
I know.
So, okay, you're going Tolvi. I'm going to disagree with you respectfully. Dallas is a very good team. Seattle is too. They're playing like it. But I think Dallas bounced back. I could see this one going 7. Just the way that the first 3 games have gone, I could see it going 7. So give me the Stars to tie that series up. And then how about tomorrow? I'll just mention this. Tomorrow, Florida could sweep Toronto. How crazy. How crazy is that?
Listen, did I not say
you said
on this
it.
Program?
I'll give you,
I
will
said,
give you a
heading
ton
into
of credit.
This heading into this series, Toronto has the pressure of now being the favorites to win the cup. And I said, oh no, this is not good for this is not good for Toronto. They're much better in the underdog.
Florida's the betting favorite, right, Nick?
Now they are.
They are?
Yeah.
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 Wow.
Now Florida is, so
yeah, that's crazy. It's crazy to think that. In the association tonight, got 2 games on the docket. This has been a fun series. Sixers and Boston, the Celtics. This one tied up at 2 apiece in Boston at the TD Garden. Celtics -7.5 at home.
Too big of a spread. Too big of a spread for this series. This one, I feel confident. It'll be a seven-game series between Boston and Philadelphia. I love Philadelphia tonight, plus the 7.5. And I also think that they go up 3-2 in this series. So I'm going to take them on the money line. I think they're plus 165 on the money line.
Yeah, I just closed that because I was looking at something else. But, yeah, I think so.
Plus 165 on the money line.
No, Sixers?
Yeah.
Plus 250.
Oh, plus 250. Yeah. Okay, I like that even better. Plus 250 on the money line. James Harden has been performing at a very high level. And, you know, in addition with Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, I like this team to go up 3-2 tonight.
I like Embiid over 28.5.
Ooh, big game for him tonight.
I like Joel Embiid over 28.5. Sixers, I'm with you. Give me the 7.5. Give me the money line, plus 250 on the road. And then another series tied up at 2. Kind of thought this might happen. Denver had a 2-0 lead. Phoenix battled back. Now it's tied at 2, but it goes back to Denver tonight. Denver is a 5.5-point favorite against the Suns.
I think this game will be separated by about 3 points. I think Denver wins tonight. So I'm going to take Phoenix plus the 5.5. I think it's a close game. And whatever Devin Booker's point total is, just take the over. The guy's been averaging like 39 points a game. So just take the over for him and whatever his point total is.
This is a tough one.
It is.
That's
a tough line.
I'm going to
some late foul shots will be.
I'm going to lay the 5.5. I don't love it, but I'm going to lay the 5.5 for Denver. I say Denver wins tonight. So I'll lay the points.
These two games, I think, will both go to 7, and I think the Lakers could close out on Wednesday and the Heat as well.
Yeah.
Which will be very tricky for the Suns or the Nuggets, whoever plays the Lakers, because this team with extra rest, LeBron and AD with extra rest, you don't want it.
We will have Game 5, Lakers and Warriors, tomorrow night at 8:30 on these airwaves. So looking forward to that. And also Devils and Hurricanes Game 5 on Thursday. So we have a select few NHL games that we're able to get. And I'll go ahead and throw this out there, too, that we're going to do because – it's kind of – the fans have asked about it, and we're going to make it work. Game 1 between the Milwaukee Admirals and the Texas Stars. You can hear that Friday night in their second-round series, the Baby Preds, as I like to call them.
Yeah, there you go. Baby Preds.
Yeah, you can hear that Friday night on 102.5, 106.3, the game. Coming up next, it's Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. They will start things off with something that Willie is not happy about. Blackhawks get the number 1 overall pick. I'm not happy about
Connor
it either.
Connor Bedard to Chicago.
Connor Bedard. We'll be back at it tomorrow at 9. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace next, 102.5, 106.3, the game.